Hello, you are listening to a podcast by Maya Blake for Smoke Radio. This is the third episode of Iris 506. Egos? Egos, activate. Come online. Now, please. Egos? Egos, activate. Now. Now. Relax, Iris, relax. It's just a malfunction. She'll be fine. She has to be. Right? I'm okay. By the way, we didn't suffer any infrastructure problems. I don't think we had, but I'm not sure. All these numbers and rhythms don't make sense to me. I need Egos to respond. The earthquake knocked out transmissions between us and the council, which wouldn't be bad if I had chosen to not communicate with the council. I'm worried that they don't know I'm out here. And if I don't get my next shipment, there's no telling what could happen. Egos, activate. Now. Please. Egos. God, this is stressing me out. I feel like I should be doing something. It's hard, you know? I tried the door and it didn't open. It's like it should open. There should be some change, but it's so quiet. I know the generator's still running, but it's very quiet and has been for the last 2 days. As long as I can breathe, I know that something like Egos' systems are still online. It's just, it has to be her vocals, you know? The generator's on, the electricity's fine, the oxygen is running as normal as it should, but she's not there. I'm alive, though. Her infrastructure protocols during the earthquake must have done their job, because I'm fine. I've been pacing the room going crazy, but I'm fine, you know, for the most part. I'm okay. And that's what Egos is supposed to do. It's supposed to keep her human alive, keep her human safe, respond to her human when her human asks, but she hasn't. We used to get earthquakes all the time. Not as much as California did before they ceased being California, but we got earthquakes all the time. It was just a part of life. The ground shook, trying to upin this virus that was on top of her, the virus of humanity. We were destroying her. And so in retaliation, she shook the earth. She sent winds to rip us apart, waters to wash us away. She did what she was supposed to do, to keep herself safe and healthy and breathing. And yet, we persisted. We're like cockroaches. Huh. I haven't seen a cockroach in months. I guess that's good. Means that my food is in good condition, safe condition. Means that my area is healthy. Cockroaches, rats are all signs of a disease. All signs of destruction, of overgrowth, of waste. These hollow pods were supposed to be the best of their kind. They are the best of their kind. They kept me alive. But they're supposed to maximize the amount of waste that we minimize. Minimize the amount of waste. Maximize the sustainability. We are sustainable, finally. And it only took millions of people, you know? Only took a lot of sadness, a lot of frustration, a lot of trial and error. That's just what comes with it. Comes with apocalypse, comes with the future. We have no guarantee that we'll be okay, but we have every guarantee that it'll only get worse from here. I never felt an earthquake as strong as the one last week. I know it must be up there on the scale that broke, but I'd never felt that. I'd never been so scared. Everything falling around me, the ground rippling, the metal bending and groaning. I wonder how they did it, how they saw that and stayed in the same places for years. How they felt and knew for certainty that one day the ground would split apart. Yet they stayed. They didn't leave. Are we just stubborn as a species? So stubborn that we refuse to notice when the dangerous signs are literally blaring in our faces? I find it interesting now that I'm calling out to egos instead of the system, instead of the others out there. Because if egos won't respond to me, who else will? You know? And I don't know what to do. Egos, come back online. Egos, auto response is on. Egos. Egos, please. It's too silent here. So silent, I can't stand the sound of my own voice. I wish I had some music. Wait. That old tape recorder. Let me see if I have any more tapes. Any more music. I'm gonna go. I got it. This was this old song that my mom used to play. Let's play it. Egos, if you're listening, it's me, Iris. I'd even listen to you read that dumb council report right now.
Oliver Washington created the Engineering Genius Algorithm Optimization Robots, later known as the Egos Program, credit with saving millions of lives.
I mean, I get it. You know, I took you for granted, and now I am by myself. If you were here, you would say, we should leave. Well, you should leave, Iris. I am part of the machine. The system. Once you leave, I'm done. What becomes of old robots and machines? What do we do with them? I mean, they're just trash? Well, no, they can be recycled, maybe? What happens when you outgrow an AI or grow or stop using it altogether? Do you just throw it away like our ancestors did? Do you figure out something new? Do you say, hey, I know you have all this information about me, my favorite color, my favorite songs, my favorite music. You know what to say so that I smile again. You're able to be, you know, who you are and who you want to be. And I'm here to support you, because I'm Egos, your friendly genius algorithm. Egotistical genius algorithm. Who names their product genius? You know, that's like setting it up for failure. I mean, the Washingtons, like, changed the world. Everyone else losing their mind, and after they go, hey, we have these machines that'll keep you alive, that can help save and maximize us, who can sustain us. It felt like a hero, you know? And then, but you could only get it if you did certain things, if you said the right thing. If you said, I'll leave Iris here, and I'll take her brother, and we'll go to that place over there, and you, Iris, stay here. We'll be back for you. We love you. But this is what we have to do to keep everyone alive. And you're here in Quadrant 4. And you're given a code name. And you're told to say the right things. And then people leave. And you still have the code name. And you're still saying the right things. But you're by yourself. Egos, activate. It's not like I can even go through, like, the messages from the council. Earthquake knocked those all out. It's what we deserve. What I deserve. I kept thinking that after the waves had risen, that someone in Quadrant 5 would need help. And I'm the closest to them. But no one from Quadrant 5 came. And now, well, soon, depending on what happens next, there might not be anyone in Quadrant 4 either. Hello, my name is Iris 506. If you're hearing this, my Egos has gone out. The vocals, I believe. I still have enough oxygen, I think. And the infrastructure is fine. I had enough food last week to sustain 3 times the amount of people that are currently here. So 4. Well, yeah. If you need help, if you can hear me, respond back. I can't even turn it on. Egos is out. God. I have to stop myself from walking over to the door and banging upon it. It's not fair. It's not fair that my ego is out, that I'm by myself, that I'm alone. It's not fair. It's not fair.
Hello, Iris. How may I help you today? Hello, Iris. How may I help you today? Hello, Iris. How may I help you today? Iris? Iris? She can't hear me. Oh. Okay. Running infrastructure check. Infrastructure is at an 80% chance of collapsing. Oxygen levels at 75%. Okay, good. Good, she's okay. Iris. Iris. As long as she is sustainable, everything is okay. As long as she is sustainable, everything is okay.
I think I'm gonna talk about with Mr. Cardona and even the family last week, it was easy to remember my neighbors. Easy to remember walking outside and seeing their faces and knowing that this was my community. This was my home, and this is the way it would always be. And then the prices went up and people left and things changed and people jogged with their dogs in front of our neighborhoods where they would have never jogged and walked with their dogs in front of our neighborhoods before. And there was this old man who used to constantly frequent the McDonald's. And whenever you walked in, he was there. And you always walked by him. You said, "Hello, sir." And he said, "Hello." And you kept going. He was one of those people that filled in the spaces of everyday life. And so there wasn't really a need to know him. You just had to acknowledge their existence, their proof that they were there. There are always those old men, just like there are always the old women who act like your grandmothers and give you treats and walk by, but there are also the old men who act like your grandfathers, who give you advice when you didn't ask for it, who hold your hand when you're young and you fall on your face because you don't know how your feet work yet, and they help you up and they smile at you and they say, "I remember when my daughter was that age," and you say, "Wow, thank you," and you keep moving. There was an old man. Old men are always either named Joe or Mark. They always have like one word names, and they wear hats full of wicker, and they lean back in their chairs and they watch the world change around them. And you feel like they've been there forever. Even though you know that they've had lives outside of the world. And so this old man Joe, who used to sit in the McDonald's, he was like the neighborhood's grandfather. If Mrs. Cardona was the neighborhood grandmother who always had your back, he was the grandfather and who always had something to say, always had an advice to give, always said yes sir and no ma'am. And you bought him something if you had any extra change, and he said thank you. He played chess with the boys on the old table, and no one ever sent them away. And you just sat there and you watched these old men with their radio playing music and playing chess, and you thought, "I want to get that old one day. I want to have a community know my name. I want to win. I want to win. I want to know how these games work. I want to know what it's like to be an old, old person with the world ahead of me still. I wanted to know what went through their brains." And as the music played and the people in the background talked and the orders were taken and they moved those chess pieces across the board, you sat there and you wondered, where do we fall? When, what age do we become old enough to come and sit with the boys at the old McDonald's and play chess? When does the weather get too cold that we take our chess game from out in the nearby park into the McDonald's and we say hello to all the kids walking in with their book bags, grabbing a snack before they head on home? When do you become old enough to become a staple in the background of somebody's mind? When do you become so regular that the people know what order you got the moment you step in the door? You don't even gotta order it, they bring it to you. They take the cash that you always have and they say, "All right, sir, is that all you need?" And they said yes. And you have grandchildren who don't visit anymore, so you project onto the kids who walk by and you say, "Hello." You say, "What do you need? One dude tells you that he's having a rough time with his girlfriend, and you tell him to sit on down. And you talk it out with him. You tell him to say you love her. You tell him to get her flowers. You tell him that bracelets are only good, but never buy anybody a pair of shoes, because they'll walk right out on you. There's something about being old and a staple in a community. Something about having a voice and staying in the background and being there. When people want to know how it's changed, somebody will come to you and say, hey, what was it like 10 years ago? What was it like 5 years ago? Where did y'all hang out with before they built this McDonald's? Did the old park always have all the cops running around it, or did there something else about it? Did the community pool, were there more rules? Did the kids ride their bikes and play games out on the sidewalk? How many people got hit by a car before they put up a light in that area to save people? How many baseball games did they pitch? How many people did they hug? Where are they now? You have to ask those questions of the old men who live in your neighborhood before it's too late. Because then Joe gets old, and there's one empty spot at the chess game. But the community lives on. And even though Joe might not be there anymore, they still know how to play chess. And they still know how to play cards and dominoes. And they bring you onto the table and they say, hey, you know how to play this game? And you say, yes, sir. My mama taught me. And they say, all right, sit on down. And you play. And you sit. And you feel Joe leaning on your shoulders even if he's not there anymore. And you know you're good at something. And it might just be making these old men laugh as you beat them, but it's something good. And the community heart beats like it did when Miss Cardona was there, and when the dads of big families were there. And you think, this is what life's about connecting and breathing and taking in the same air as everyone around you. And you smile. God, you smile. You love it. You love it. And then times change and the McDonald's close and the park closes down because all the trees got old and hot and they started to lean over, and it suddenly is dangerous for you to bring your baby out, and the old men don't come out no more. And your mother says, we have to move to another spot or else we won't be able to hang out here no more. And so you leave. You leave and you say, thank you, Mom. I love you, Ma. Bye, Joe. That's what communities are about. About change. About leaving, about rebuilding, about being happy. About knowing you're worth something, even when there's no one else around. Even when you're just a background, part of the atmosphere. When the music that plays and the old radio of all the old funk jams, and you say, you kids don't know nothing about this. That's Joe. That's the community at work. That's your heart beating when you don't even know what you're doing. It's a smile, a warmth in your chest, the saltiness of fries that you know you shouldn't even be eating, but you eat it anyway. And you love anyway, and you move on anyway because it's safer to be safer to do that than to stick around and be let down, to be put in danger. When the old men move on, maybe that's time for everyone else to. When the fire burns down the neighborhood, maybe that's the time, that's the sign that we all gotta go. Maybe when your ego stops talking to you and you can't hear her voice, maybe you think the council was right, that you should move. That count that the quadrants 1, 2, and 3 might have something for you. That your mom's not coming back, that your brother is out there by himself somewhere. You move on because that's what people do. Hello? Anyone out there? This is Iris 506, reaching out to say, I'm still here. I'm in quadrant 4. I got enough food and water if you need it. And if the earthquake was as bad out here as it was there, then you need help. And if you can hear me, then stop. Stop being by yourself. Bring them over. Move inward. And maybe we can move together. Copy? Egos? Vocals online.
Hello, Iris. How may I help you?
Oh my God, Egos! Oh!
Hello, Iris. How may I help you?
You're okay. I didn't know what I just thought I... You're all right.
Why wouldn't I be?
Your vocals have been offline for like 3 days. What happened?
Running infrastructure protocols. And it appears that there was a slight malfunction in my vocal respirators. I am okay. Do not worry about me. I would like to do a check on you if possible. I want to know that you're safe, Iris.
I'm fine. Run system checks. Where's my oxygen at? Just play some calming music.
I can do that.
I don't want to be alone again.
You're not alone, Iris. You have me.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for listening to Iris 506. This is Maya Blake with Smoke Radio, and I am so happy that you guys have tuned in, and thank you so, so much. This is our third episode entitled Vocals Off, and look, we have episode titles now, so thank you so much for tuning in, and I hope to catch you guys again next week.